Lord. Amen. Do what He tells you to do. Do it when He tells you to do it. Be obedient to Him, and God will take care of you. Amen. All right. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank You tonight for the opportunity. And I pray, oh God, that You would drive away every hindrance, God, every foul spirit, Lord, every thing that might hinder, everything that might take our mind off of worshiping and serving You tonight here in our little church. And I pray, God, that You would just help us, Lord. I understand, Lord, there are some distractions and different things like that. And I pray with all my heart, God, these are Your sheep. These are the sheep of Your pasture, dear God. And Lord, as the pastor here, Lord, I know how important that is. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that You would take and just drive away every wolf, every devil that would, Lord, influence this church in any bad way, in any way that's out of the doctrines of Christ. I pray, oh God, that You would have mercy. And Lord, I thank You, God, for everything that You do. Now, Lord, let us center our hearts and minds on the Word of God. Teach us, instruct us. Help me to preach rightly. God, help me to say the right words. And I pray, oh God, that You'd help these people that are here tonight hear the right way. Lord, You told Your disciples, be careful how you hear. And Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us hear correctly tonight the word of the Lord. And we'll thank You for what You do. We'll praise You for what You do. Have Your will and way. And we'll thank You, oh God. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, Elijah, 1 Kings chapter number 17. Let's read a few verses here, and then we'll come back up to verse 1 and see what the Lord has for us. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So much for women and children first. He said, go get me something first, and then after that you make for yourself. Amen. Well, it don't always seem like being a Christian's going according to the custom of things. It might go against your custom every once in a while, but I tell you this, you do it God's way, and it'll be the right way. Amen. That doesn't make any difference if it's Baptist custom. Amen. or southern custom or northern custom, just doesn't make any difference. You do it God's way, amen, and everything will come back out. I like that verse. There's two verses that really stood out to me, and one of them is verse number 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. He did what the Lord told him to do, amen. And then verse number 15 says, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. That's a pretty good verse too. She did what Elijah told her to do, and she ate for a long time. Amen. So I guess that runs against the grain of this crowd. Says I ain't following no man. I ain't letting no this one fella calls me on a regular basis, and he'll talk for 45 minutes, and I'll talk for 30 seconds, and so that's about the way that conversation goes. But his conversation is always all these dictators running around, all these dictators. Well, who's going to be in charge if the dictators ain't in charge? Amen. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Who's going to make the decisions? You? I guess that's what he's getting at. But Elijah said, "Hey, do this," and she done it. She ate a long time. And last time I checked, that's all we was all trying to do every day anyway, was eat. Right. Yeah. Amen? Right. You got a job so your wife can eat, don't you? Some of you ladies got a job feeding that husband of yours, don't you? Amen? I mean, that's just the way that it is. That's what you're trying to do. She did what the preacher did what the Lord told him to do. And then the woman did what the preacher told her to do, and they ate a long time. Amen? The preacher ate too. Amen. Now, these modern-day male chauvinists wouldn't like this chapter at all either. I'm just giving you the high points. Amen. We'll get to the message. He said, he told Elijah, he said, "Now, you go over here and let this widow woman sustain you." How about that? Then he lives out of her house. Amen. Wouldn't you feel funny if God told you to go live with Miss Faye and stay with her for a while? Amen. And she's going to feed you and upkeep you. I think one or two's already tried that. Amen. I think Josh tried to stay over there a little bit, didn't he? But I tell you what, if the Lord tells you to do it, you better do it. Amen. Amen. I'll be moving in with you. Mark Ruth's going to run me. No, I won't do that. I'm just kidding right there. Oh, boy, talking about building up your own message. Amen. Well, no, look here in verse number 1, and I want to preach to you about Elijah a little bit. There's all kinds of funny stuff in the Bible like that. There really is. The Bible's the best book you've ever read. Amen. It's far and beyond scarier than any novel Stephen King ever wrote. Amen. And it's a good book. There's funny stuff in there and scary stuff in there. And it's better than Hell's Box Office, really, if you think about it. Amen. Well, let's look in verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, I think Elijah probably stands out in the Old Testament as the premier prophet. Now, when the Lord gives his estimation of the prophets, he said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. He said the prophets were until John, and John was the best prophet that there was. And John didn't do any miracles. John didn't do any miracles. The Lord said John didn't do any miracles, but everything that he said was true. And so we can gauge being a man of God or a woman who's trying to serve God. We can gauge that by, is what we're saying the truth? Amen? Is what we're saying the truth? I was telling you about a preacher I was dealing with. Lives right here in this town. I used to work for a towing company over there. And this fellow runs a towing company over here. I don't know what his name is. I don't care what his name is. But his towing company wrote our towing company a check, and it bounced. And so I took it back over there. I was the guy they sent out to repossess cars and stuff like that. So they thought I'd go repossess their money for them. Go over there and tell that guy we need this money. We've mailed him 2 or 3 notices, and he ain't done it. I walked over there and walked in his little shop. And one day, and I said, "Well, I'm here to pick up this money for Southern Express. You wrote him a bad check." He said, "Well, I'm not paying for that." He said, "That's not my responsibility." I said, "Well, here's the check right here. Got your name on it. That makes it your responsibility." "No, sir, that's not my responsibility." I said, "You're a preacher, ain't you?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." I said, "See you later. You keep your money. See how good God blesses you with it." I didn't tell him I was a preacher or nothing. It didn't make no difference who I was. I tell you what, it does make a difference, though, pretending to be God's people when you're dishonest. Amen? That just ain't right. Hey, I got an idea. It's a novel idea. Just go be dishonest. Amen? It's like I tell people when they try to bring rock and roll music in the church, just go listen to rock and roll. Don't bring it in here. Just go have fun. Get you an AC/DC cassette and get you an Ice Cube cassette and just listen to it all day long. Don't try to come in here and make something that ain't it, man. This is a place of honesty. This is a place of truth. The Bible says He gave you life and gave you life more abundantly. This is a new life you're supposed to be living. This is a great life. Amen. And as much as we can, we ought to try to be honest, and we ought to try to be God's men and God's women in every aspect. That's what Christianity is all about. Amen. They talk about turning over a new leaf. Well, after you mess up a leaf, tear it out of the book, throw it away, and then start over again if you have to. But try to make them, whatever you're writing on that new page, make it good. Amen. And don't pretend. Don't pretend. Best thing you can do when you're doing wrong is get it right. It's easier. You remember when you was a boy and you lied to your mama? Anybody remember that besides me? Well, you know what most of you done? If I know human nature, like I think I know human nature, when she asked you about it, you told her another lie to go on top of that lie. And if she asked you too many more times, you compounded the lies one on top of the other. Boy, don't you know that's a difficult way to live? My experience was is that when you told a lie, which I told many of them, but my experience was is once all the lies came out in the open and the whipping was administered, it was over, and it was a whole lot easier than it was. It was a lot easier just taking your whooping and admitting you was wrong. Than it was easier to do that than it was to keep making up stories. Amen? Because a little brain like a 10-year-old boy, a little brain just can't get all the facts straight, the false facts, straight enough to keep on building the lie. Pretty soon the house of cards comes falling down. Amen? And so a lot of you grown-ups think that you've got a mind that can conceive all these fabrications to where I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to cut this corner and I'm going to get away with this. And pretty soon your life is built on a house of lying cards. And may as well just get on an altar and say, God, help me and forgive my sorry carcass. Amen? Just be honest about the thing. I don't know how I got on that, but I'm going to get back over here on this right. Oh, he's talking about the man of God. Elijah was a sure enough man of God. Jesus said John was the best prophet. He was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. But I believe Elijah is one of the premier prophets in the Old Testament. If I were to ask 9 out of 10 preachers who's the favorite prophet in the Old Testament, I bet they would say, I bet 9 out of 10 of them, I wouldn't ask 9 out of 10. I'd ask all 10, and I bet 9 out of 10 of them would say Elijah. Elijah's just a man of God. Elijah was so well beloved, I believe, especially by the Hebrew people, that when Jesus showed up and he began to walk around, some people said, this might be Elijah. Amen? And then they thought John might have been Elijah too. Men showed up with power, and they thought he was Elijah. John one time said to Jesus, he said, these fellas over here ain't doing it quite like we're doing it. Maybe I should let fire come down and burn them and their 50. That's what he was trying to say. He said, Lord, should we call down fire and burn them up? And the Lord said, no. He said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. Now, the Lord wasn't rebuking the acts of Elijah. He was trying to get across to John that he needed the primary mission of Jesus and his disciples was not to burn up captains in their 50s. It was to save captains in their 50s. He wanted to give people an opportunity to be obedient. Now, disobedience to what Jesus was doing will get the fire later. Amen? Elijah called down fire right now. Rejecting Jesus Christ gets you the fire later on. Amen? And I would pay very close attention to California right now and some other places around the country, Louisiana, because when God gets really ready to judge somebody, he usually does it by fire or water. Fire or water. Now, God has a whole lot other switches than just fire and water, but that seems to be God's mode of operation, his M.O., amen? Well, here Elijah comes up, and this is the introduction of Elijah here in the Bible. And he just shows up kind of like this. Hello, I'm Elijah. I'm from over there in Gilead. Where's Ahab? Amen. He didn't pull out his resume and his long list of qualifications. You know, I went to Bob Jones University and I got 3 degrees and I'm pastoring of the largest church in Texas. And he didn't come out with all these qualifications. He just shows up and says, "Hey, my name's Elijah. I'm from over there in Gilead and I'm looking for Ahab." Goes right straight to the source of the problem. Amen. And that leads me to say this: if you're going to be God's people, quit beating around the bush. Amen. Come to the point. If you see something that's right, praise God about it. Amen. I mean, there's no debating about it. Listen, sit here on Sunday morning when the singers are singing and some of these fellas are shouting and you're just sitting there thinking about getting in on it. I mean, you should have done got in on it. Amen. When you got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. It's all right. I sure do feel like amen. Well, say amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I sure do feel like witnessing. Well, get involved in it. Just do it. One of these days, I'm going to witness. When you going to do it? Be hard to talk to the mortician down at the funeral home once you're dead. I mean, you only got one opportunity. It's why you're alive. Better do it now. If you want to witness to the mortician, just go find him at work tomorrow. Amen. Stop by there on your lunch hour. Don't wait till you're dead. Amen. Because listen, if I read my Bible correctly, some people, the Bible doesn't give us too many glimpses into the lives of people after they die. But a good percentage of the ones that he did give us a glimpse into their life, they wanted to witness. Yeah. They was interested in witnessing. One of the fellas, he wasn't even saved. But all of a sudden, he got interested in witnessing. The rich man, "Hey, send somebody to my house. Send somebody to my brother's house, I mean." Yeah. He said, "Go over there and visit my brothers. I got an idea. Visit your brothers tomorrow. Call them on the phone tonight. Get them. They're probably not in bed. Go home, call them, say, just thinking about you, wanted to call you and tell you about Jesus." "Oh, you've told me that stuff 100 times. I hope that'd be true about you. "You told me that stuff 100 times. Well, here's 101. I'm glad you're keeping count." Amen? Because God's keeping count. Yeah. Amen. So whether it's good or bad, just get to the place where you just come right to the point. "Hello, I'm Elijah. I'm from Gilead, and I'm looking for Ahab." Ahab. Amen. And I kind of like Elijah's way of doing things. You know, most people know what they're guilty of. Now, as Christians, we're in a situation where God told us to preach. We've got the law as our guide, so we know that the transgressions of the law is sin. We know that all unrighteousness is sin. We know that anything that is not of faith is sin. We know what sin is, and we know that because of sin, people are dying. So we know, we can go in and we can talk to people and tell them about those things, and we should tell them about those things, and then guess what? Here's the remedy. Jesus died on the cross. We understand that, but I believe at the same time, my witness, if I'm witnessing to a lost man, and Nathan's not lost, I just use him as an example. If I'm witnessing to a lost man, as a Christian, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm the Son of God. Well, see, now I'm witnessing to him, and if he's a lost man, he knows he's lost. He knows he's a sinner. Now my witness is witnessing to him, amen? My witness is bearing witness with something that's down in his heart saying, "You're a sinner. You're in trouble. You're going to meet God one of these days." Now he's got the witness of his heart, Romans chapter 2, and the witness of the Holy Spirit working through you or me or you ladies, doesn't make any difference. Now you got God's program going to work here. So most people know what's going on. And I said all that to say this. Elijah didn't come up and say, "Now Ahab, you're an idol worshiper, and Jezebel's ruining this country, and I'm about to take care of it." He didn't come in and say none of that stuff. He just walks in front of Ahab and says, "Look, Ahab, it ain't going to rain no more till I say so. See you later." Now, Ahab wasn't sitting there going, "Wonder what all that was about." Right. Ahab comes in. Now, Ahab comes in and he says, "This is the way it is. It ain't going to rain no more." My old preacher like he used to preach a sermon called, "It Ain't Going to Rain No More." Amen? And that's a simple country way of putting it. Amen? When God gets tired of all the foolishness, God's going to turn off the water spout and your corn ain't going to grow and your green beans ain't going to grow no more and you ain't going to be able to quench your thirst. You're going to be living a miserable life. Amen? That's just the way that it is. And God can dry up your corn whether you get it out of the can or the garden. Amen. Amen. I said it on Sunday morning, I say it again. God's going to dry up some folks around here. Just keep on playing. Just keep on playing. Just keep on playing. Just keep on playing if you want to. But I'm telling you, God does not play. God didn't play around. God's not going to play around. God didn't play around with Ahab. So he said, before whom I, he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's harsh. That's harsh. Now this modern day crowd couldn't handle that at all. Oh my soul. You're just going to judge people like that? That's right. God's just going to judge people just like that. Well, the God of grace, hey, the God of grace existed in the Old Testament. He was right back there. That is the God of grace. Listen, a God of grace will forgive you of your sins. And a God of grace will judge your sins because he don't want you to go on in it. The longer you go, the more difficult it is. We know a fella, and some of us know him real well. Some of his relatives go to church here and been out and been in a particular lifestyle, and been in that lifestyle so long that even after asked the Lord to save him, it was that lifestyle had got so ingrained into him that he's right back out living the same lifestyle today. You say, what happened? Just went a little bit too far. Reminds me of another sermon my old preacher used to preach. He called it the point of no return. You know, if you used to get on a boat and get out there on the Niagara Falls, is that the Niagara River? I don't know what the name of that river is that goes over. Is that the name of it? Well, you can get out on a boat and you can get out there on that river. I'm talking about up above the falls. But you know, you get to going down towards that big old waterfall. And before you know it, you can get so far there that you can't turn around. The current will get so fast and the water will be so quick and so strong, you can turn around and paddle with all you've got. You're not getting back out of there. You're going over. And the preacher called that the point of no return. And you can get going in a thing so far and for so long that if you don't get it right, you'll get to that point of no return. You're not going to get back out of it. I've had some people say, preacher, how do I beat this sin or how do I beat that sin? Sometimes there's an answer because we've got a God of grace. We've got a God that can change hearts. But I can tell you, if you stay around a certain sin and a certain custom and a certain lifestyle long enough, you're going to pass the point of no return, and you can have all of the sincerity in your heart to want to do the right thing, but you're going to have problems with that temptation for the rest of your life. You say, why? Because you passed the point of no return. That's just the way it is. And I believe Elijah never said one word to Ahab until Ahab done passed the point of no return. I don't believe that there was no prophet over there on that side of Jordan. Gilead's on the other side of Jordan. When you go through your Bible, you're always going to hear it said, beyond Jordan. Particularly in the Gospels, he said that John was over about Bethabar beyond Jordan. That's on the other side. Now, on the inside, that's where Ahab lived, on the west side of Jordan. And he was the king, and he lived in Jezreel. His capital was in Samaria. And listen, you just can't tell me there wasn't a prophet over there that would speak to Elijah and say, you ain't doing the right thing. You're just not doing the right thing. I believe he had plenty of witnesses. Then God got this old rough-cut fellow from the wilderness out there. The wilderness, that's the other side of Georgia. And then he'd come across the other side of Georgia. I said, Jordan, I'm talking about other side of the Jordan. And he'd come in there. It might have been prophetic right there. But he said, listen here. He sent this old boy from the wilderness out there over to the other side of Jordan. Said, now, Ahab, it ain't going to rain no more. Ain't going to rain no more. And left him out there just like that. But it must have made Jezebel mad. I'm just reading in between the lines here because the Lord said, well, you better go hide out for a little bit. And so what did he say in verse number 2? Hey, point number 1 was get to the point, amen? Just get right to, don't sit around and think about it for 6 weeks. You know you got something that needs to be taken care of. Get it taken care of. I'm talking about saying just get it done, amen? I mean, get right to the point. If you're going to be God's man, if you're going to be God's woman, just see what needs to be taken care of and get it taken care of. That's good or bad. See somebody you need to witness to? Do it. Just do it now. Well, I'm praying for the right minute. You know what my Bible says about that? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. That's always a great verse. And I always think about that verse when somebody says, I just ain't ready. I just don't know. The time ain't right. Hey, the time is. You say, when's the time right? When you hear. When you hear. Today's the day of salvation. Hey, the Lord said, just at the right time, I've succored you. I've taken care of you. I've comforted you. He said, I'm going to comfort you right now. Amen. Get saved right now. So he says, as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Turns out to be 3.5 years, the same as a tribulation. But then he says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And, you know, as a Christian, you know what you're going to need sometimes? You're going to need a little place to hide out. That's what every Christian ought to do. They ought to hide out a little while, fight a little while. Hide out a little while, fight a little while. I'll get into that a little bit more. But I want to point out verse 2 first. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, the word of the Lord came unto him. Hey, be careful about the man that God talks to. Amen? Be careful about the woman that God talks to. You say, you believe God talks to men and women? He must have talked to that woman up in Zarephath. He must have spoke to her, amen? He said, I've got me a little woman up there going to take care of you. Hey, later on in the ministry, there's a little woman there, and the Bible calls her the great woman of Shunem. So that means she lives just a little bit north of where Ahab lives. And Elijah's going back and forth through there. The woman said, hey, I perceive that that's the man of God. Yeah. Amen. Let's build. There's another woman leading her husband. She goes, amen? She goes to her husband and say, I think this is a man of God that comes by. Let's build him a little room, and let's put him a bed and put him a little table in there and a lamp where he can study the word. Amen. That's just another Cherith. You'll see that in a minute when we get to it. Amen. Sometimes Cherith can be in your bedroom. You ain't got to be a hiker. Amen. Go out in the woods and camp. But that's what the Lord told Elijah to do. That is what the Lord told Elijah to do. Amen. The word of the Lord came unto him. Be careful about the man that God talks to. You know, people that in this day and time, we've got so professional in our religion that we forget that the Christian environment, the Christian economy, is God speaking to men and men being obedient. We've taken away the supernatural. We've taken away all the supernatural aspects out of Christianity. Well, we think this is a business deal. We're going to go to the bank and we're going to borrow the money to build us a building. And then we're going to build this building. We're going to get some nice chairs in it. And we're going to get us a dynamic preacher to come in. He's going to preach and all the seats are going to fill up. And then we're going to have a lot of money to do a lot of other stuff. We're going to support missionaries. Hey, the business end can go straight to the devil. You better get used to the fact that God's going to talk to some men. Them men's going to talk to you. You're going to do what you ought to do, or you're going to refuse to do what you ought to do. And the rest is going to be consequences, good or bad, good or bad, good or bad, good or bad, good or bad. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Amen. Now, them people that God talks to, they're not always going to be the greatest men. Matter of fact, it might be the person you least expect. That's God's man or God's woman, God's servant. We could just say that, God's servant, amen? You know what I've even started hearing over the last 4 or 5 years? I've heard of people just making a mockery. They'll say, yeah, God's man. This fella talking about God's man. You better be careful about that. I've heard people just like making a mockery. Hey, God's man. He said God's man. He thinks, and what they're saying is they think that there's somebody out there that thinks that they're God's servant and that they're doing what God told them to do. And there is people like that. Amen? And if I was a young man in this building tonight, whether I was 5 or whether I was 50, amen, you guys 50 years old, you young men, amen, ain't that good, ain't that nice of me? You got a real nice preacher. But if I was one of you fellas 5 to 50 or 60 or 70, which I don't think we got no 70-year-old men, you know what I'd be looking to be? I'd be looking to be God's man. Amen? Be looking, well, I'm going to be a great businessman. You might and you might not. But you can be a God, you can be God's man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I said this just a second ago. That fellow that God's talking to, that fellow that you better watch out when God actually starts speaking to somebody, that fellow's going to be the fellow you least expect. And you can turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He'll say, not many wise, not many noble, not many wise men after the flesh. He said, God's going to take the simple, silly, foolish men of this world, I believe also the foolish women of this world. What would Ahab had a thought if he'd have knew there was a little old woman up there taking care of Elijah, and the ruination of his whole administration was all sitting in one house, in a little house in Zarephath. It was a widow woman and a prophet that was so far out of his own country he probably didn't even know how to get to the 7-Eleven. Gilead's way over here. I mean, if you're standing in Jerusalem, you got to go way across Jordan and over into Gilead to get to Elijah's house. And God done got him out of there, done sent him over to Jezreel, and Zarephath is all the way up between Tyre and Sidon, modern day Lebanon. He's out of his element. He don't even know where the 7-Eleven is. And if Ahab only knew, here's a little old man, and here's a little old widow woman, and a little old boy sitting in a little mud hut up there about to ruin everything. You say that woman ruined it? Yes, sir. She's feeding the prophet till he does his business down there. Amen. Elijah got some more things to do. God just letting him hide out there. That woman get a lot of credit. You say, how do you know? I just told you about her, didn't I? You know how many years she's been dead? People still talking about her. Amen. Some people will quit talking about you long before you're dead if you don't start doing something worth a while. Amen. Amen. Everybody in here wants to be popular. You don't realize that all the greatest men in the world that are still being talked about today are in this book, and when they heard the word of the Lord, they did according to what he said. Amen. That's right. Ain't very many people ever heard of old Ed Smith, which was my old grandpa, my great-grandpa, but they heard of John the Baptist. Amen. Amen. All right. He said, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. I've been looking up and studying some of this stuff about all these different places, Zarephath and all these different places, the brook Cherith. You know, I was looking up this brook Cherith and I found out what the definition of it was and what the word meant and all this stuff. And you know, I was looking to see if I could find it on the map. Google Earth. You got to love Google Earth. Amen. You can go see it. You know, you can go tonight and look at Ur of the Chaldees and you can see right where it is. We live in a great world. Amen. We live in a great place. We can just look stuff up if we want to. And you know, it's not on, the brook Cherith is not on a map anywhere. And there's three different places that all the big educated college graduates say, oh, the brook Cherith, it's right here. And I looked there and I said, it ain't there because it's on the other side of Jordan. Now, Ahab lives in Jezreel. Elijah has left his home and went to Jezreel, to the palace. Either there or he went to the capital. Either one, he's got to talk to him in Jezreel or he's got to talk to him in Samaria, which is on the west side of the Jordan. And every one of these Bible scholars are saying, the brook Cherith is on the east side. The brook Cherith is on the east side. And another person said, well, it's on the west side, but it's down by Jericho. And that ain't right either. And you say, how do you get messed up? I don't know how they get messed up, but I know how you get right. You read God's word. Amen. Amen. Now, you might think I'm just talking right now, but I'm giving you a solid Bible illustration. You keep your head on straight by reading the Bible. Now these men, this one scholar says it's up here by the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee, and it's on the east side, and it's over here by this place where Elijah was from. And I'm like, nope, it's not possible for it to be. The other one says it's down here a little bit further south on the east side of the Jordan River. No, it's just not possible. And this one says, well, it's changed its name from the brook Cherith, and they call it the Wadi Kelt. Wadi means stream. That's a Muslim word. That's what they call it. And they said it comes out from Jerusalem and it comes down to Jericho. Nope, that's not it either. And all, listen, I'm trying to give you an illustration of how not to get messed up. You keep from getting messed up by reading your Bible. College education mess you up faster than anything you know of. Especially if it's talking about math or science, if you're trying to build nuclear rockets or moon landing devices, I recommend you go to college. Amen? But if you're going to mess with the Bible, I recommend you keep a pretty good eye open and make sure you ain't getting messed up. Elijah goes to Jezreel, and when he gets done telling Ahab that it ain't going to rain no more, the Lord says, go east to the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. Now, if you're on the east and you're heading towards Jordan, you're going to find the brook before it. It's simple. Simple, simple, simple. You're standing in the west. He says, go east to the Jordan. You'll find the brook Cherith. East. Not southeast. Not north. It's before Jordan. Now, every time you're reading your Bible, when they're in the land talking about outside of the Jordan, it says beyond Jordan. Not before Jordan. Beyond Jordan. You say, Brother Mike, you mean to tell me you're going to argue about these little words? Hey, it's believing these little words that keeps you right with God. We say that we believe the King James Bible is inerrant. It's God's inspired word. So every single word in this book outranks all the college professors. Outranks all the preachers. And what makes a good prophet? Somebody that'll just be obedient. Verse 5. So he went and did as he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's all you got to do for the rest of your life, Brother Chris. Just go and do according to the word of the Lord. Just go do according to the word of the Lord. And you know what the Lord did to him? He said, go stay by the brook Cherith. And he says, I'm going to send the ravens to bring you bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Breakfast and dinner. You can't beat that, can you?
Yeah.
I told you I looked up this brook Cherith and seen what it means. I guess it's dried up. I don't know. It's a seasonal, they say it's a seasonal river, but they don't even know where it is, so I don't know how they're going to describe what it is. I can give you a good description of the brook Cherith. It's the river that God told him to go sit by. You know what? You know where it's at? I don't either. I don't even care where it's at. All I know is God told him to go over there. I know he followed God's word and went over there, and guess what? He ate. That's all that matters, ain't it? Does it matter if you understand it or not? Does it matter if you know where it is or not? Does it matter does it matter the details of a thing? The details of the thing don't matter. There are people in this world right now that read the Bible and then they go check around. They can't find the details of it, so it must not be true. Well, whether you think it's true or not, Elijah ate bread and meat in the morning. Bread and meat in the afternoon. Amen. Ain't that what matters? I found part of this definition in the baby name book. Of course, it wasn't a book; it was online. But people actually name their kids Cherith now. Some people are doing it, evidently. But in the baby naming book, it says, "Now be careful if you name your child this, because it means to slash." It means to gash, and it means to slay. Well, I don't believe it means to slay, because it's the name of a river. It's a name that they gave a river. So I think if you're comparing the two, they probably added some negative stuff in there because it's the Bible. But to slash and to gash, well, evidently what it is that whole region around the Jordan right there is full of little mountains, little hills and little mountains that come out of the valley of Jezreel, and there's two mountains on each side, and a mountain, all these mountains, and all the water flows down out of those mountains into the River Jordan. And as the water goes down through those little limestone crevices and stuff, it gashes out a little crevice here, and it gashes out a little ditch here, and that's how they run down into the River Jordan. So the Lord tells Elijah, he said, you get down there where the water flows, where it's tearing up the ground, where it's digging a little trench. He said, you get down in there, and I'm going to you can hide out right there until Jezebel ain't mad at you no more, and then we'll do something else. Amen? And you know what I read in my Bible? The Bible says you're supposed to be clean by the washing of the water by the word. And another place in my Bible says this. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you're a Christian, if you love God, you need to get yourself in the service of the Lord. And when you get weary from that service, you need to run down by the brook Cherith. Amen. And it'll, listen, the Word of God will gash you. And it'll cut you and it'll dig ravines in your soul. Let the water run. Amen. This is, the Bible says my word is like a hammer. And he says my word is like a sword. And it'll cut you. Amen. You got some stuff growing on you that ain't supposed to take the word of God and cut it off. Amen. The word of God will gash you. It'll cut you. Amen. And what he's telling me is, you fought a little while, go hide a little while. You fought a little while, go home, get in your bedroom, get out the Word of God. Just stay in there. I ain't going to witness today or tomorrow. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. And let God take his little, Colossians talks about the operation of God. Let God take his scalpel and cut away a little here and do a little repair there. And then once you get all fixed up and you had enough bread and fish in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, get back out there and start working again. Even Jesus said he took his disciples apart, took them aside to rest. Jesus himself rested. Matter of fact, he most of the time rested while they thought they was in danger. Jesus rested while everybody else thought they was in danger. Jesus rested while everybody else thought they was in danger. A man with Jesus down in his soul that's doing what Jesus commands him to do, I believe he'll have that same joy and that same peace where he can rest while everybody else throwing rocks. He can rest while everybody else is crying and whining, saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. That's what we ought to be saying. Amen. The word of the Lord came to him and said, get thee hence and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's my advice to you tonight. Man, woman, boy, or girl, go do what the Bible tells you to do. Quit running from it. Quit running from it. Quit worrying about it. Quit fretting about it. Just do what God tells you to do and let God handle the consequences. And when things get a little bit too rough and a little bit too rocky, well, as all men do, you got to go hide once in a while. Amen? All these men of God, they're great men of God and got power, but every once in a while, you find them in a cave. What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, I was jealous for the Lord, and now I'm all upset, and now I just wish I could die. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord must have had one of them ravens fly back by and drop off a parcel of food because he fed him. Amen? Got him a little nap, fed him, and then the Bible said he went in the strength of that meat 40 days. I had an old preacher one time tell me, I was asking him about prayer, and he said this. He said, you can pray and you can pray a lot, and you should pray and you should pray a lot, but one of these things is where you pray and pray and you get tired of praying, it's because some of that time you shouldn't be praying, you should be doing. Pray. And I get like that. I see the truth in that, and I see the honesty in that, because I pray 5 or 6 days in a row and don't do anything. I kind of get tired of praying. Get bored with praying. I said, well, why would the Holy Spirit let you get bored with praying? Well, not enough doing. Not enough doing. Pray, pray. And I tell you what, after a good day's work, you'll be ready to pray again. It's just like eating. You eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And boy, if you're not doing any work, you get fat and fat and fat and fat. And boy, you get stuffed up. Then you don't have a good appetite for anything. But you go out and bust logs all day. You go out and drag big chains around and do this and that kind of hard work. And by the time you get home, you'll be ready to eat. And you won't be turning up your nose. Beans again. Beans again. We had tacos on Monday and taco soup last night. And my wife told me on Monday, now I think I'm going to take this meat and make taco soup tomorrow. And I was tempted in my soul to say, Mexican stuff 2 days in a row? You ain't no Mexican. Now, if she is a Mexican, she kind of looks like one sometimes. You should see me walking into the Mexican restaurant with Ruth on my arm. All them Mexicans get jealous. They think I done got one of their women. Amen. And that was especially so before. Seemed like having a kid, or After she had kids, she got whiter. Would you believe that? She used to look just like a Mexican. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But she said Monday, she said, well, we had tacos. See, and then Tuesday, she said, we're going to have taco soup. And I said, that's okay with my mouth. But in my heart, I said, Mexican stuff 2 days in a row. See, I ain't going to say that out loud because she'd catch me while I'm asleep. Amen. No, I ain't afraid. But listen, you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, don't complain. Don't complain because you're eating. Amen. And you know what? It was good. She tried to imitate Taco Bell and make these Mexican pizzas, and them didn't turn out too good. But I tried it. I tried it. I said, this is good. Passed it over there to Abigail. Amen. Ain't no use in being mean about it. Share. When you don't like something, share. Amen. I just have a full heart today, and I think I want to share. I want to make sure all of my children have something to eat, which translates to, this ain't no good. Amen. I tell you what is good, though. Do according to what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. If he tells you to get right, get right. If he tells you to do good, do good. Amen. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy. Ask God that you'd help us and lead us. And God, be a part of this church like you've never have been before. Lead us. Help us to serve you. Help us to love you better than we ever have. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. God bless you for coming.